Part 11, Chapter 5. Turl's next actions were carefully observed by keen Scottish eyes in the hills. Late the previous afternoon, Turl had gone tearing off in an executive tank at high speed. He had headed toward the ancient city to the north and entered it. About noon, he left the ruins there and came roaring down the remains of the overgrown highway to the academy. Turl got out of the tank, faceplate of the breathe mask glinting in the sun, and strode in a free and relaxed fashion in the direction of the sentry who came forward. There was very little at the academy now, a housekeeping unit and three Scots sentries, usually light-duty invalids recovering from some mishap. This one had his arm in splints and in a sling.
"What can I do for you, sir?"
said the sentry in acceptable cyclo. Turl looked around. No vehicles left here. No, there was the tail of a small passenger plane. Must have them all up at the mine. Probably even running out of them. He looked at the sentry. Probably running out of personnel, too. If Turl knew anything about the dangers of mining. Well, no matter. There were still some of them left alive. He was wondering how to communicate with this animal. It had not registered on him that he had been addressed in Cyclo, simply because he didn't believe it. Animals were stupid. Turl made gestures with his paws, indicating the height and beard of the head animal. He went through a pantomime of looking around, sweeping his arm toward himself and pointing at the spot beside him. Very difficult to get anything across to an animal.
"You probably mean Johnny,"
said the sentry in Cyclo. Turl nodded absently and wandered off. He'd probably have to wait until they flew up to the mine and brought him back, but that was quite all right. He realized with an expansive, good feeling that he now had lots of time. But more than that, he had freedom. He could go where he pleased and do what he pleased. He flexed his arms and wandered off. It might be an accursed planet, but he had space now. It was as though invisible walls had been moved off him and miles away. Some horses were grazing in a nearby park. Turl, to pass the time, practiced drawing his belt gun and firing. One by one, he broke their legs. The resulting screaming of the agonized mounts was quite satisfactory. He was just as fast on the draw as ever, just as accurate. At 200 yards, even. A black horse, four draws, four fires. The horse was a skidding cloud of snow. What a caterwaul. Delicious.
"Turl!"
Johnny's voice behind him was a bit hard to hear in the racket, but it didn't surprise Turl. He turned easily, mouth bones wreathed in a smile behind the faceplate.
"Want to try?"
said Turl, pretending to hand over the gun. Johnny reached for it. Turl laughed an enormous laugh and put it back in his belt. Johnny had long since been waiting for Turl. From the moment Turl had started on this route from the city, he had known Turl would call here, and he had flown down from the mine. It had seemed better not to let Turl know he was under observation, and he had intended to delay a bit longer. But the screaming of the tortured horses had sickened him. This was a much-changed Turl, very like his old self.
"Let's walk,"
said Turl. With a signal of the hand that Turl did not see, an angry Johnny sent a Scot to slit the throats of the tortured, maimed horses and put them out of their misery. He steered Turl around the corner of a building to block his view of the action.
"Well, animal, I see you are getting along just fine. I suppose you're trying for a second pocket."
"Yes,"
said Johnny, controlling his anger.
"We don't have quite enough gold yet."
That was an understatement. All the gold they had, he was carrying in a bag right this minute.
"Fine, fine. Need any equipment? Any supplies? Just say the word. Got a list with you?
Johnny didn't.
No? Well, all you have to do is put a list in those bundles you keep leaving outside the cage. And I'll just have them run right over to you. Label it training supplies, of course.
Fine.
And if you want to talk to me, just flash a light through the glass at my quarters. 3 short flashes and I'll come out and we can talk. Right?
Johnny said that was fine. There were some mining points that came up every now and then.
Well, you just asked the right party,
said Turl, patting himself on the chest.
What I don't know about mining has never been written up!
He laughed loudly. Indeed, this was a different Turl, thought Johnny. Something had taken the pressure off him. They were still out in a field and hidden from view by a knoll.
Now, to business. On day 89, you are to deliver my gold to this building in the old city up there.
He took a picture out of his pocket and showed it to Johnny. It said on the building, United States Mint. Johnny started to take it, but Turl pulled it back and showed him 3 other views. The street, the building from 2 sides.
Day 89. 2 hours after sunset. Don't be seen. There's a room I've fixed up. Put it in there.
Johnny studied the views. Obviously, Turl was not going to give him physical possession of them. There were some mounds he knew were old cars, and back of the building was a bigger mound, probably a truck. The doors of the place were sound and closed, but undoubtedly Turl had them unlocked.
Have you got a flatbed ground truck?
Asked Turl.
No, I'll give you one.
He became impressive. Commanding.
Now listen carefully. You and 2 other animals, no more, are to arrive at that exact time. You, personally. Tell the others you won't return until day 93, and you'll bring them their pay. From day 89 to 93, I have some other things for you to do, understand? You, personally, and 2 animals, no more. The rest stay at the mine, right?
Johnny said that was understood. They were standing well screened from any view behind some bushes.
Do you want to see a sample of what was hauled up?
Yes, Turl certainly did. So Johnny threw down a piece of heavy cloth and spilled wire gold onto it. It glowed softly in the sunlight. Turl glanced up to be sure there was no overhead surveillance and then hunkered down. He fondled the nets of gold, some of the quartz still sticking to it. He spent some time at it, and then stood up with a paw signal to put it away. Johnny did so, carefully. It was all they had. Gazing at the bag, Turl let out a long sigh into his breathe mask.
Beautiful, beautiful.
He came out of it.
So on day 89, I get a ton of gold, right?
He patted his pocket where the remote control lay.
And then on day 93, you get your payoff.
Why the delay? That's 4 days.
Oh, you've got a few things to do. But never fear, animal. Come day 93, you will be paid off. With interest. Compounded! I promise you very faithfully!
He laughed a huge guffaw into his mask, and Johnny knew that Turl might be feeling high today, but he was not entirely sane.
You'll get everything that's coming to you, animal! Let's walk back to the car!
Never in his whole life had Turl felt so good. He recalled from the Scotland trip how eager they were for pay. This animal was going to get paid on day 89. Then he could kill the females with no fear of psychic powers. Delicious.
Goodbye, animal,
he said, and drove off in great spirits.